for over 40 years. Dr. Willie Bolden has been had a burning desire to see people experience the same personal relationship with Jesus Christ that he does. A ministry hymn is not viewed as an obligation, but as an opportunity to give back to the Lord a portion of what God has given to him. He's gifted in evangelism, teaching, and preaching. He has served the church in various ways by doing door-to-door evangelism, street preaching, church planting, teaching at both the college and the seminary level, as well as being a senior pastor. I first met Willie when he was the pastor of the These Are They Church in DeSoto, Texas. And I was pastoring just down the road, and we had some good times together in the community. He's a native of Kansas City, Missouri, and he migrated to Southern California in 1971, where he attended Biola, and receiving a Bachelor of Science degree in Christian Education, followed by a Master of Arts in Theological Education from Talbot. In 2006, he earned a Doctor of Ministry degree in Missions and Evangelism from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He currently serves us as Executive Director of Community and Church Relations at DTS Houston, as well as serving as an adjunct professor in the pastoral ministries, as well as the educational ministries and leadership departments. He's married to his bride, Loretta, and they are the parents of seven children. So he's had a church all of his own. Loretta, would you stand, and Willie, would you come and let us welcome them to our chapel today?
Let's pray together. Father, quiet my heart. Prepare us to think about things that will affect our lives and the lives of those that we love. Bless us as only you can. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Many of you this morning in this room are here at DTS to prepare yourselves for ministry. You've got plans. And some of those plans are that when you leave this place, you already know what country where you're going to serve. You already know what city where you're going to serve. You already know what ministry that you're going to involve, that you're going to be involved in. And you are super excited, just can't wait for that day when you leave here to start ministry. Now, I recognize many of you are already in ministry, but yet there are those that say, well, I'm still in the preparation stage. As a matter of fact, some of you have been telling yourselves that when I start that new church plant, I mean, it's just going to explode. Some of you are even saying, look, when I go to that ministry that's kind of on the decline, once I enter in there, it's just going to go up. Because, of course, I've been trained at DTS. So you've made a decision to faithfully serve the Lord and to honor him with your gifts and your talents. And I know beyond a doubt that DTS is that place, probably one of the best places, in my personal opinion, to prepare you for ministry. But there's a course that DTS hasn't prepared you for. I've looked at the catalog and it's not there. The course that I speak of is finishing well. What I mean more specifically is how to handle the urge to quit. Now, it's easy for me to talk about all the great things of ministry. It's easy for me to talk about some of those churches that are successful. And boy, in Houston, they have a lot of successful churches, a lot of big churches. But I'll tell you something that I know beyond a doubt. Even those pastors that have those successful ministries, at times, the urge to quit is there. And if you have never been there, if you've never had that urge to quit, all I can just do is just tell you, just keep on living. Because at some point, something's going to happen to you. Something's going to be said, something that's going to be done that's going to make you, it's going to make you want to quit. But I know, I understand that you're saying, Dr. Bolden, look, that's not me. I'm not made to quit. I understand that. Prof. Hendricks said this some years ago. He said that there's about 1,000 people that we can do study of in the scriptures. And then he says, of those 1,000 people, he said there's only about 100 of those people that we have enough data to do a good research. And watch this. Here's the thing that prompts shocked me. He said, of those 100 people that we've got enough information, he said only a third of those 100 finished well. Only a third of those 100 in the scriptures finished well. Not too long ago, a researcher said that, and this one just blew me away, that 1,300 pastors in America quit every month. Did you hear that? 1,300 quit. They don't finish well. They give up. They throw in the towel. And oftentimes, I ask myself the question, why? And then I quickly get the answer. I know why. Because I've been there several times in my life. And you know, there's a guy that really was very familiar with this whole thing of this pressure of quitting, and his name was the Apostle Paul. So if you have your scriptures this morning, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul was very, very knowledgeable about the fact that he knew he was talking to people at some point that would want to quit. Chapter 4, beginning at the early part of chapter 4, Paul says this statement. He says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercies of God, please underscore this. He says, we do not lose heart. Underscore that. We do not lose heart. It's not so much an action as it is an attitude. He says, we do not quit. Christians don't do that. Christians don't need to do that. He says, we don't lose heart, but what's interesting, I love what he says. He says, drop down to verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure, talking about this gospel, in clay jars. This gospel, this precious thing has been deposited into our lives, and yet the Apostle Paul says, even though this great thing has been deposited in our lives, watch what he says. He says that there are going to be times when we are, verse 8, afflicted in every way. Then he says, we're going to be perplexed. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be struck down. And then he says, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. Do you hear those words? Afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. This is going to happen to you at some point in your life. You're going to have to deal with the issue of quitting after you've gone through something like this and saying to yourself, I just can't take it anymore. You know, I've been in a situation like that where I just wasn't sure that if I could last one more day. And give you the situation that happened. I'm pastoring a church in DeSoto, and I hire a young man that graduated from a seminary in California. And so I said to him, Dr. Bailey, I said, I want you to be my new minister. I'm sorry, over my new members class. And so put him over the new members class. And for about a year, man, the church is growing. We've moved to 2 services. Things are going fine. And after about a year there, he came back to me. He said, Dr. Bolden, he says, I want to let you know that I believe the Lord's called me to start my own church, to plant my own church. And I was super excited for him. And so I said, we were part of the Dallas Baptist Association. So I said, well, I'll go down on downtown on Monday morning and talk to them about some kind of subsidy, some kind of support for you. And when I got home that afternoon, one of the deacons called me. that was a Freudian slip right there, wasn't it? I It just goes away. What can I say? So one of the deacons called me and says, Dr. Bolden, did Reverend so-and-so come into your office after the sermon this morning and talk about planting a church? I said, yes, he sure did. How'd you know about that? He says, well, are you sitting down? You know how it is. Whenever someone says, are you sitting down, you know something else is coming. He said, well, did you know that for the past 6 months, he has been meeting secretly with people? What? For real? And so I wanted to make sure that this wasn't just some rumor. So I got in my car, went to this preacher's house, had a meeting with him, come to find out that that was so, that for the last 6 months, he'd been having secret meetings with members in the church. For the last year, he had been having meetings with people that were part of that new members class. So I said to him, I said, well, I tell you what, I said, this Sunday will be, you know, your last Sunday. This Sunday will be your last Sunday. We'll make the announcement from the pulpit. And I did. That was the first Sunday, February 2005. That next Sunday, I had no idea the impact of what was happening behind the scenes. So that next Sunday, as I looked out among the congregation, I lost 200 members. Half the choir, keyboard player, musicians, several deacons. And my brothers and sisters, let me tell you, you want to talk about a guy being not just angry, but just low, and even just talking to God. God, you know, I don't even know why you called me to be a pastor. I'm just not qualified for this. I can't do this. I don't know how to pick the right people. Look at what I did and all this other kind of stuff. And I wanted to quit. And God opened up his word and showed me something. And I want to show it to you in verse 16. Paul says, so we do not lose heart. Isn't it interesting? Very same phrase he said in verse 1, we do not lose heart. He needed to repeat that again. Don't quit. I know what you're going through. I know that some stuff is going to happen to you. I know that you're going to be under pressure, but don't quit. He says, though our outer self, I like this, though our outer self, that physical self is wasting away. Yet our inner self is being renewed. How? Day by day. You see, people will say to you that they're in your corner and then turn around and stab you in the back in ministry. People will say that they're there for you. People will tell you, well, you've got my word. I'm with you. Until sometimes things begin to heat up and then they walk away from you. How easy would it be to have those people that you started with? And I tell young pastors in Houston all the time, I said, let me tell you, this is surprising. Many of that core group that you planted your church with, 3 years from now, they won't be here. And you need to understand that. It's not necessarily because of you. They just won't do it. And there are people that you're going to find out that want your job. They won't tell you. They'll make you think, they'll even try to get close to you, but at some point, they really want what you have and they'll do whatever's necessary to get it. I've been there. People do things behind your back and people will hurt you. And then you just have the pressure just comes from being a leader. It's one thing to preach every once in a while, but to preach 52 weeks out of the year, that's pressure. And not just that, now, you're talking about, you've got people coming to you, especially when you're a pastor, you've got people coming to you for counsel, and you've got people coming and coming and coming and putting pressure on you, and then, you're putting pressure on yourself. And I'll never forget my wife, 2009, she comes to me and she says, honey, she says, look, I love you, I really do, but I don't know if I can be married to you any longer. And I was like, what? What am I doing wrong? She says, if I could just be a member, honey, of your church for 1 week, I'd be so happy. And I said, well, why? She says, because you give yourself more to them than me. See, because the information that I had been given as a young preacher, here's what I was told. This guy was maybe 20 years my senior. He said, Willie Bolden, when you become a pastor, you need to know you're married to the church. So I would spend 70, 80, 100 hours a week at the church. and no time with my wife, no time with my kids, or those games. I wasn't there. Even sometimes, even missing anniversaries because I had put in other things on the calendar. And so she's like, look, if I could just be one of them, I'd be so happy. And when she came and said that to me, my first thought was, well, I don't want to lose my wife, so maybe I need to quit. Are you with me? What I'm doing. I didn't know at that point how to strike the balance between making my home a priority and also the ministry. But here's what I've learned, and listen to me very, very carefully, especially young people. Never sell your family on the altar of ministry. Because once you lose your family, you've lost your ministry as well. So guys, make your family your priority. And it was hard for me to say, you know, sometimes I can't because my son is playing a game. I can't. I got to go to my daughter's volleyball game. I can't because I promised my wife. I can't. And I'm just one of those guys, and maybe preachers seem to be like this, that love to make people happy. And saying yes to everyone, yes, yes, yes. And then you look on the calendar, you've double booked yourself, and you're preaching over here, and you got to run, jump in your car, and preach over there, and then preach over there. And before you know, when you get home, you say, honey, as soon as you hit the couch, guess what happens? You're, and makes you want to quit. Your outer man is wasting away. But Paul says, look, he says, you're being renewed day by day. It's interesting that the more you serve in the natural, the stronger you get spiritually. How do you like that? I like that. Then look what else he says. Verse 17, he says, this light affliction, he says, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Let me tell you, many of the pastors in Houston don't think it's light. Oh, gosh, if I could just tell you guys, if I could just tell you without telling their business, I know so many pastors that I've met in Houston that want to quit. Pastors where they sleep in separate bedrooms, them and their wives, and the church doesn't know about it. Pastors that are ready to throw in the towel, and some of these are successful. Externally, they look like great ministries, but they don't know, their members don't know the pressure that they're under, and they're ready to throw in the towel. And it's almost like week after week, I just have to tell them, just, okay, come on, next week, not next month. I mean, I just have to give him encouragement and pray with him to go back just one more week and continue. And I'm telling you, just because you have knowledge, knowledge does not protect you from wanting to quit. It's a discipline. It's something that you have to do on the inside to yourself. Because listen, I fought with elders. I fought with the deacons, I fought with the congregation, sometimes I fought with my spouse, and then I even fought with myself because I have expectations on myself that in some cases are not biblical. And so now, not only is the pressure from the outside, but guess what? Now there's pressure from the inside, and so the pressure gets so much, you just say, well, just forget it. But Paul says, it's light. Only way that he could say it's light is when he says, when you compare it with the glory. Listen to what he says. It's momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. And then look at this phrase, beyond all comparison. Anyone remember that passage in Romans 8 where Paul talks about, I think it's about Romans 8, maybe verse 18, when he talks about, he says, the suffering of this present time cannot be compared with what? The glory. Here is a way to help you to deal with pressure. As you look upon this pressure, look upon the pressure in light of the glory. As you look upon it in light of the glory, guess what? It looks like a small thing compared to the glory. And I love what the words that Paul uses. He said light, and then he used weight, then he used glory. He says this stuff, this temporary stuff, is nothing when you compare it with the glory. And look at verse 14. He says, knowing that who raised Jesus will raise us up with Jesus and bring us with him, rather bring us into his presence. Paul says, there's coming a time when you're finally going to be rescued. You're finally going to be rewarded for the work that you've done. So he says, don't quit. Hang in there. Do whatever you have to do. But instead of just focusing always on it, focus on it in light of the glory that shall be revealed one day. And then finally, verse 18, he says, as we look not to the things that are seen. Wow. As we look not to the things that are seen, but what? To the things that are unseen. As we look not to the things that are seen, not to the visible, but to the things that are invisible. The spiritual things. The things that God is doing in your life. And I've come to the realization that the more I deal with pressure and the more I deal with suffering, what I didn't recognize is that actually I'm beginning to grow more. I'm stronger today than I was 15 years ago. I'm stronger today from that time that my wife approached me and said, I don't think I can do this anymore. I'm stronger today. And I'm glad because I get a chance to pull aside some of these young guys who are in their 20s and 30s and 40s and say, man, you can do this thing. I know you can do this thing. And I'm a living example. I'm a living witness to you to help to encourage you. Man, look, don't quit. And sometimes it's almost kind of like, you remember when you were little and you were on your 10 speed and you know, you got to that hill and you're on your, and you know what you have to do when you're at a steep hill. You have to get off the seat. You have to stand up and you have to begin to pump. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you're on that bicycle and you're pumping. But you know what the tendency is? The tendency is just to get off and just to push it the rest of the way. Not realizing that if you can just push just a little bit longer and it begins to start burning, you know what I'm talking about? It actually starts burning. And when you get to the top, man, it's just smooth sailing. See, some of us, we get off the bike too soon. We're almost there. It's almost about to happen. But you got to finish. When I think about finishing, guys, there's no other story that just really touches my heart. Some of you remember the 1992 Olympic Games. There was a runner from Great Britain. His name is Derek Redmond. And Derek had prepared for years. You understand that, you know, they have the Olympics, Summer Olympics, every 4 years. So Derek Redmond had been preparing himself for 4 years, ready to run the 400 meters. I mean, he had done everything he was supposed to do. And so now it is at the semifinal, not the final, but at the semifinal. And everyone knew that the chance was very, very strong that he was going to place. So put him in the final. He gets down in the blocks. Shoots the gun, and man, he's out. And you could hear the announcers saying, Redmond is out. Redmond, man, he'd already caught up the stagger, and man, he was motoring around that thing. And then all of a sudden, he says he heard a pop. He said his hamstring tore. And then you see him fall down on the track. And here's what's interesting. On the Olympics, the camera, rather than focusing on the rest of the runners, the camera focuses on him down on the track. And all of a sudden, we see him get up, holding his left, and he begins to hobble. Anybody remember this? He begins to hobble. And then all of a sudden, he says, out of the corner of his eye, he sees someone coming down. And it's his dad. And his dad comes up to him and says, son, you don't have to do this. Son, the race is already over. You don't have to do this. And Redmond says, he says to his dad, dad, I didn't just come to enter. I came to finish. And so you remember that scene? His dad grabs him. He says, put me back in the lane 5, for the rest of the race. He drags him across the finish line. And what's interesting, no one even remembers none of those other runners. No one even remembers who the winner was. All they remember was that guy who finished. You know, I think about his dad for us as being God. In those moments when you want to quit, when everyone will understand if you quit. I mean, no one would have busted him for quitting because the race is already over. But he, in his spirit, he wanted to finish. My brothers and my sisters, don't quit. Oh, yeah, it's going to get rough out there. But don't quit. Father, thank you so much. Thank you. That in spite of the pressures of the day, Paul says, don't lose heart. Don't quit. Finish well. And now, Lord, we know that we can do it as we focus not so much on the things that are before us, as we focus on the glory. And the glory can give us strength to endure the temporary. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.